everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I am Tom.
It's day two of our literature unit. And it's actually one of my favorite parts of the literature unit. When we just learn more about the author's life and how they grew up, their background, what kind of led them to become writers. Our author this time was born long ago. So we're going to be talking about someone who grew up before we had, you know, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And it was kind of hard to get your career going back then, especially if you were an artist, you know. So if you're writing today or you're an artist today, be grateful that it's a lot easier to get some publicity for yourself. Back then, it was really difficult.
Right, and we'll talk about Jules Verne, who, of course, is the author of our featured work of literature, Around the World in 80 Days. So instead of listening to us talk about this author, let's read the entire contents of the lesson right now, and we'll come back to discuss it for you.
Jules Verne was born in Nantes, a busy port city in France, in 1828. As a child, he was captivated by the merchant ships on the Loire River, which sparked his fascination with adventure and travel. He began to write short stories and poetry while attending boarding school. However, his father insisted he become a lawyer and inherit the family's law practice. Verne studied law in Paris during the French Revolution of 1848, a time of terrible political strife. While in Paris, he befriended artists and authors, including the famous Alexandre Dumas. Indifferent to his field of study, he became a playwright after earning his law degree, but later worked as a stockbroker to achieve more financial stability. In 1856, Verne fell in love with Honorine de Vienne, a young widow with two daughters. They married in 1857 and had a son in 1861. The Vernes made many trips to the British Isles and the Mediterranean. Verne's literary career took off when he met editor and publisher Pierre-Jules Hetzel in 1862. The next year, Hetzel published Verne's 5 Weeks in a Balloon, the first of a series of 54 adventure novels known as Extraordinary Voyages. Some of Verne's most famous works from this sequence are Journey to the Center of the Earth, 1864, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, 1870, Around the World in 80 Days, 1872, and The Mysterious Island, 1874. Stricken with diabetes, Verne died in 1905. He is regarded as the father of science fiction and imagined many technological innovations before they existed, including deep sea exploration, aviation, and space travel. He is the second most translated author of all time, and his works have inspired scientists and inventors, not to mention numerous other authors.
Okay, let's get to it, everybody. Let's talk about the contents of today's lesson. Again, we're talking about Jules Verne. He was born in Nantes, I hope I said that right, a busy port city in France, way back in 1828. So that's where he was born, in this town in France, which is a port city, which means it's a city next to the ocean.
Yeah.
Just like Geelong is a port city. Kaohsiung is a port city here in Taiwan. But this fella here was born in 1928 in France. And as a child, he was captivated by the merchant ships on the Loire River, which sparked his fascination with adventure and travel. So yes, indeed, he watched those merchant ships, which are ships that carry products and things like that that are being sold and that are being shipped all over the
traded,
yes indeed. And he saw those ships and he thought, wow, that's so cool. I am fascinated with adventure. It sparked his fascination.
Mm-hmm.
It triggered his fascination with adventure and travel. So you can bet he wanted to travel the world after he saw those merchant ships.
He had a really great imagination. So he was able to see some cool things as a child that really got his imagination going. And that's when he started to write short stories and poetry. It was while he was attending boarding school. If you don't know what boarding school is, you're lucky enough to grow up at home, it sounds like. I know we have some boarding schools here in Taiwan, too. There's one on the top of Yangmingshan that I taught at for a week for a friend. I was substituting up there. If you go to a boarding school, it means your school also provides room and board for you. Room, of course, would be the room you stay in, and board just includes the food that you need. So you're not living at home. You're actually almost kind of like a college student who goes away to college, because we typically, if you go away to college and you're not close to your family's house, you have to find, you know, a place to live at school. So he did go to boarding school. A lot of very wealthy families and even higher middle class families back then would send their kids away to boarding schools. They felt like it was a better education.
Indeed. However, his father insisted he become a lawyer and inherit the family's law practice. So his father, of course, he would have been speaking French to him, but said, son, I know you want to travel the world and write short stories and stuff like that, but, you know, I'm a lawyer, you know, and it's a pretty good business and we make a lot of money and we're respected in the community. So, yes, you need to follow in my footsteps because I want to retire and I want you to take over the family business. I want you to inherit the family's law practice. So you can take over and continue the name Vern and Associates or whatever it was called. But I think Jules probably had other ideas, didn't he?
Yeah, but you didn't always get your choice of careers back then. If you were part of the aristocracy, you didn't work at all. You just collected the money that came in from the land that you rented to people who were living on your land. The best career you could have at that point in time was to be a lawyer. There were people starting to study medicine more, but becoming a lawyer, you would do pretty well. You were, you know, upper middle class. You didn't make a lot of money, but much better than those who were very poor back then. So he obeyed his dad. He didn't get a lot of choices back then. He studied law in Paris during the French Revolution of 1848. That was a very dangerous time to be in France, especially Paris, because if people decided that you were part of the, you know, the royalty or you had too much power, you might be arrested and beheaded on the same day. It was kind of a scary time to be alive back then. Time of terrible political strife. You'll see this word strife, guys, when things are bad and people aren't getting along. There's a lot of arguing and disagreement over issues. I would say it was not just a time of political strife. It was a dangerous time, and many people ended up being beheaded. Their heads were chopped off because the people there felt like they weren't being treated well, and so they rose up and rebelled against the monarchy and the aristocracy. So while in Paris, he befriended artists and authors, including the famous Alexandre Dumas. Alexandre Dumas is his name. So if you befriend someone, it just means you become friends with them. And so, yeah, of course, he would want to be hanging out with the cool folks. Those are the artists and authors back then. France had a lot of very big names, artists and authors who would go to France just to sit around and discuss life with each other.
Right. And of course, he was supposed to be in Paris to study law there, but he had other ideas. He hung out with artists and authors, and indifferent to his field of study, he became a playwright after earning his law degree.
He did graduate.
So he did as his daddy told him. He got his degree, so his daddy wouldn't, you know, cut off his inheritance or something like that. But he later worked as a stockbroker to achieve more financial stability. So, yes, he was indifferent to his field of study. I have a feeling a lot of people feel that way. Maybe they took a test or something that said, oh, you should be a doctor, or you should be a lawyer, or you should be a businessman, even though deep down those people really want to be rock stars or artists or even taxi drivers or something like that. So, yeah, he was indifferent to his field of study, which was law. Indifferent means, well, you don't really hate it, but you don't really love it either. It's just like, well, so-so, you know. I'll do the job because I'm supposed to, but I don't necessarily love it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess he did this during the day, and he became a playwright after earning his law degree. A playwright, of course, is somebody who writes plays, like Shakespeare. He was a famous playwright. But he later worked as a stockbroker. That's somebody who buys and sells stocks for people. He did this to achieve more financial stability, which means things are, you know, even, you know, they're nice and firm, nice and steady. You don't have to worry about going poor, going broke, and things like that. If you're financially stable, that means you're doing okay. You can spend your money however you want to.
Yeah, finding someone who's financially stable is pretty important to people who are looking to get married. You want to be with someone who understands money and doesn't spend a lot of money buying crazy things. I wanted to mention you're a playwright if you write plays or dramas for the stage. But if you're writing for the movies, you're a screenwriter, so you have to learn different titles for different areas of writing. And if you write novels, you're a novelist. You could just say I'm an author, but you could be a novelist as well. So that's what he did growing up, and that's his background, at least in education and in a career. We're going to talk about his love life next. But first, we got to take a quick break. We're going to listen to our Chinese teacher. And then we'll be back.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 我们今天继续来看这个作品《环游世界80天》Around the World in 80 Days. 好，今天的这一部分主要要谈作者。我们已经知道故事大概的内容。那作者呢 ?Jules Verne, 他事实上他是1828年出生。位在法国的一个地方，那他小时候呢就很喜欢看这个河上的商船，所以他也热爱冒险，热爱旅行。而且他那时候念书是在哪里念？是在一个寄宿学校里念书，看到 boarding school， 换句话说，这个基本上只有假日才能回家哦。好，那我们知道他的父亲呢，对他的要求就是要他成为一名律师。好，接下来提到作者呢，他呢在法国的巴黎念法律，而在巴黎的时候呢，他认识了一些名人、艺术家，包括了大仲马。那因为呢，他对于他念的法律这个领域没什么兴趣。好，注意到这个形容词 indifferent， 当你说对什么很冷漠。不屑一顾，就是 indifferent to something， 换句话说，指的是指他所念的法律这方面并没有兴趣。但是其实这个地方前面省略一个 being， 我们知道如果看到句子的开头是用一个形容词开头的话，就要仔细思考，这个形容词的片语怎么来的。像在这边当然主词是后面的 he， 那He 主词省略，形容词之前的 be 动词 being 也是可以省略掉的。当你变成了一个分词构句的时候，这个 being 不写，最后只有剩下了最简单最核心的形容词部分了。好，那所以说我们了解它的一开始是如此的。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, we shall now continue with our lesson. Now we're going to talk about Jules Verne's love life. Yeah, that's what you've been waiting for, the juicy details of his love life. So way back in 1856, Verne fell in love with Honorine Devian. I hope I said that right. A young widow with two daughters. Okay, so a widow, of course, is somebody whose husband has died. And so she had two daughters, but the dad's gone here. But he doesn't care. You know, he likes kids, so he married her. And because he married her because he fell in love with her, and they married just a year later in 1857, and they had a son in 1861, 4 years after that. 1861, I think, is when the Civil War started in the United States. The Vernes made many trips to the British Isles and the Mediterranean. The British Isles, of course, is talking about Britain and Ireland and all the other islands there around England, Scotland, Wales, etc.,
yeah.
Ireland. They're all part of the British Isles. They also went to the Mediterranean, which is where Italy is, Greece, Spain, etc., etc. And if you've ever been to the Mediterranean, you know why they went. It's fabulous. It's gorgeous. It's heaven on earth.
Yeah, but don't go to Greece in the summertime. It's freaking hot. So, yeah, maybe just stay there in Italy during the summer.
Yeah, and the Greeks don't have enough money to pay for air conditioning either. So, yeah, stay away from there.
It's like Arizona. Anyway, yeah, so he met someone, like Tom said, who was a widow with two daughters. They got married in 57. I was trying to figure out how old he was. He's a pretty young guy, 28 when he met her. He had a son later, and sounds like they had a nice life. So we're going to move back on, back to his career. His literary career took off. When you use this verb phrase, to take off, it just means it really started going, became successful. You all hope, I'm sure, that when you start working and you get your first job, that your career will take off and you'll be really successful. That's our hope for everyone out there, of course. It took off when he met someone who was very important to him, and that was his editor and publisher. This guy did both things, Pierre-Jules Hetzel, in 1862. So it was a year after his son was born. He met this guy who was not only an editor, but a publisher as well, so he could get his books published. That was a big deal back then. You couldn't self-publish. You couldn't put your book up on, say, Amazon and have people buy it, or record it yourself and have people, you know, listen to it. You needed someone who would help you publish it. So he was lucky to meet this guy. So the next year, that would be 1863, Hetzel published Verne's 5 Weeks in a Balloon. This is the only book I don't know of. I haven't heard of this book. It was the first time I've heard of it. It's the first of a series of 54 adventure novels known as Extraordinary Voyages. That's why we kind of subtitled this whole unit Around the World in 80 Days, An Extraordinary Voyage. It was part of this group of novels he wrote. He wrote a lot. 54? Wow.
It's a lot. It kind of depends on how long they are, but this guy loved adventure, and so he wrote lots of books about going on voyages all over the world. This one was about traveling in a balloon, a hot air balloon or something like that. And some of Verne's most famous works from this sequence are the following novels: Journey to the Center of the Earth in 1864, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea in 1870, Around the World in 80 Days in 1872. That's our featured novel.
Yep.
And also The Mysterious Island way back in 1874. So this is a sequence. A sequence usually refers to a series of things one after the other, okay? A particular order of events or things that happen, or in this case, when books were published. So it's a sequence of novels that were published, 54 of them. Maybe not all in a row. Maybe there were some other novels and short stories kind of interspersed there, but this was a lot. This is a big series or a big sequence of novels, and maybe you've heard of some of those titles there.
I wanted to mention we use sequence when we're talking about DNA, the DNA sequence, or even in music, if you have a repetition of notes that come in a particular order, you can talk about the sequence. Or if you're a code writer and you write computer code, they'll often talk about the sequence of the code. So you'll see that word quite frequently. And remember, as Tom said, it's just a particular order in which things that are related to each other follow or precede each other. It's the order of something. So, wow, he was busy and he had a great imagination and came up with a lot of wonderful things that are still popular today. Some of these books are still read by many kids around the world.
And they're probably available online for free because they're probably in the public domain. Check out, is it Project Gutenberg or whatever? They have lots of free e-books there that you can download and read on your device. Well, let's talk some more about his life and times here. In the year 1905, he died and he was stricken with diabetes at that time. So diabetes, of course, is when your body cannot control the sugar in your bloodstream, and that causes damage to all sorts of things in your body if it's not controlled. Mm-hmm. Maybe at the time they didn't have good medication or something like that, or he had a bad diet that was high in sugar and carbohydrates and things like that. So he was stricken with diabetes. Here the word stricken means that you have this disease. You might be stricken with a cold, for example, so you have to call in sick to work, or in this case, it's something more serious. He's stricken with diabetes. You could be stricken with cancer. You could be stricken with all sorts of things, as long as you're sick.
He is regarded as the father of science fiction. I didn't know that. It's kind of amazing because he lived so long ago. And I always think of science fiction writers being, writing more like, say, in the 1950s and 60s. There are a lot of very popular books, science fiction then. But he beat them all. So he is given that wonderful title of being the father of science fiction. And his imagination was so crazy good that he imagined many real technological innovations even before they existed. He saw them in his mind and he wrote about them and described them, even though they were only in his mind. Later on, it took real people, real scientists, to come up with the invention. So he's kind of cool. If you have an innovation, it just means you have something that's very new that hasn't been around. We often talk about inventions being innovative or someone's business model being innovative, just something that hasn't currently been done before. It's a new method or it's a new idea, a new product, anything that's new.
Right. Yes, as you said, an idea or an actual technological device, like the telephone was an innovation, the telegraph, etc. Those are all technological innovations that changed our lives. And he thought of them before they actually existed.
Cool.
And some of these include deep sea exploration, aviation, and space travel. So he wrote about these things, you know, going into the ocean in a submarine, even though they didn't really exist at that time.
No.
And that's all about exploration, going to places that you haven't been to before. The verb there is to explore. And aviation is all about flying and stuff. He anticipated people making airplanes and jets and stuff like that. Mm. He also anticipated space travel, going up into Earth's orbit and going to the moon and things like that. And he is the second most translated author of all time, and his works have inspired scientists and inventors, not to mention numerous other authors. So at the end, we've got this phrase, not to mention, which I guess in Chinese is like geng buyao shuo, which means something else we want to add to this. He's not only done this, but also, or not to mention, this other thing.
Yeah, and usually when you use that, the thing that follows not to mention is something that's even more obvious. So it's obvious that other authors would be inspired by him, but that scientists and inventors looked at his works as well is pretty amazing. So we're lucky to have had his imagination here on this earth. Right now, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher one more time, and then we'll be back to wrap it up.
好，那我们提到，Vern他这。 一个人很有趣哦， 因为他学法律， 可是他又不喜欢法律， 即使他到学位以后， 他其实反而去当剧作家， 还当过了证券经纪人呢。 好，那到1856年的时候呢， 他谈恋爱了， 结婚之后呢， 他生了一个儿子。 不过要知道的是， 他到处旅行的过程里面， 其实当然也给他了很多的 点子，让他能够写下一本接一本的有名的作品。那我们就看下面这边提到了，他的 literary career took off， Vern's literary career 指的就是他在文学创作这一块他开始起飞。好，后来呢，在透过一位出版家的帮忙之下，他出版了好几本书。我们就来看看下面这几本书的书名，包括这个 Five Weeks in a Balloon， 我们的中文翻译是气球上的五星旗。好，那提到这本书，他说这是一个 A series of 54 adventure novels， 所以这一系列的书就有54本。好，看到后面另外一本Extraordinary Voyages， 这中文翻成奇异旅行，还有没有别的呢？其实下面他最有名的作品很多都是从奇异旅行出来的啊。下面比如说像地心历险记，我们看看它的英文是 Journey to the Center of the Earth， 还有 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea， 中文翻成海底两万里。那再来就是我们今天所讲的这一部书了，环游世界80天，还有一本很有名的 The Mysterious Island， 神秘岛。好，我们看了这么多的书，我们知道它绝对不是只有一本书的作者而已。不过最后就要告诉大家，比较遗憾的是，它这一生呢 stricken with diabetes。 我们看到 stricken 这个字，他这一生都深受糖尿病所苦。 Stricken 基本上我们知道他用来作为一个过去分词，它是来自于 strike。 诶，可是我们知道 strike 的过去是 struck， 过去分词不也是可以写 struck 吗？没有错。可是当你用在一个形容词的用法，或是用在片语里面表示深受什么之苦，受到什么苦难的折磨的时候，你用的这个过去分词一定是 stricken 这个字。所以如果你说这些人他受到地震或受到贫穷之苦，诶，说到这些人是 poverty stricken 或是 earthquake stricken， 这个都是一样的，用这个字的字形。好，那我们提到了这么多，最后也就知道他深受糖尿病之苦，而且在1905年过世。不过他的作品可是史上被翻译第二多的作者，因此真的不能够忽略它。好，我们今天的讲解就到这边结束，我们下次见。
That's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and please join us again next time when we go back to the actual story Around the World in 80 Days and talk about some of the themes and ideas that are presented in the novel. Please join us then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.